Good morning. Turn to Luke 15. Luke 15, we are going to wrap up the parable of the lost son today. The last portion of this parable is the one that Jesus was waiting to get to, the older brother. Luke 15, let's start in verse 25. Now, his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come home, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found." Amen. Now remember the situation here at the beginning of Luke 15. It said, "And then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him," Jesus, "to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Remember that? So Christ responds to that by giving three parables. And in the last parable here, we find this rather direct teaching to the Pharisees as Jesus tells of the prodigal son's older brother. So, 3 points today for our time of confession as we consider the response of the older brother to the return of the lost son. Number one, self-interest results in significant dishonor. Self-interest results in significant dishonor. Sometimes when others are blessed or honored, our selfishness really kicks in, doesn't it? We don't like it sometimes. We say, "That's not fair. I've done good things too." Often it's our self-interest that overshadows, even pushes away a faith-filled response. But here, by even refusing to enter the house, the older brother publicly humiliated his father. He dishonored him, for the older brother's focus was on himself and on what he didn't receive. Self-focus and selfishness, these are indeed crippling sins. And this is what sin does. Paul Tripp, you might have heard of him, one time said, "Sin does something terrible to me. Sin turns me on myself. Sin shrinks life to the size of my life. Sin makes me obsessed with my wants, my needs, my feelings. Sin causes me to love me more than anything else, to care for me above anything else, to be obsessed with what I want and how I want it and when I want it and why I want it and where I want it. My life gripped by sin is nothing but I want." And note, in his reply to his father, the older brother doesn't even address his father as father. He just jumps right into his complaint. And he won't even refer to his brother accordingly, but he says, "This son of yours." These words grieved the father just as much as the prodigal son had. The older brother had indeed separated himself just as far from his father as the younger had. One recent song says it well. It says, "I'm like the brother of the prodigal who turned his nose and puffed his chest. He didn't run off like his brother, but his soul was just as dead." Number two, focusing on other people's sins is a deadly trap. Focusing on other people's sins is a deadly trap. The older brother was so focused on the sin of his younger brother, he could not be thankful. Even though there was a clear humbling and a repentance and even pleading for forgiveness by his younger brother, all he saw was his sin. So we have to ask ourselves, do we compare ourselves to one another too much? Are we looking at others so much that we're not humbly grateful for what God has done in our life? In this way, are we missing the work of God even? Have we not sinned? Is that what we should be focused on, the sin of others? For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. See, we have the incredible privilege of seeing with new eyes of faith. In Christ, we don't see the sin. We see hope, trust, belief, expectation, and we rejoice. See, we're free from dwelling on sin, from being chained to a focus on others and their sin. And we're instead humbled that God's grace overcomes our sin. Number three, a wrong identity of who we are is very destructive. A wrong identity is very destructive. See, the self-righteous older brother saw himself first as a servant of his father, not a son. His value, his worth, his identity was that he was a good laborer for his dad. Listen to his defense. All these years I've been laboring for you and I never disobeyed your orders. That's his identity. He said, that's who I am. I'm a good worker, Dad. And praise God for good workers, right? Amen. But you see, he missed the foremost aspect, was that he was a son. As the father said, child, you're always with me and everything I have is yours. See, this is the message for those born again, who have fought battles for the Lord, who have toiled in the heart of spiritual warfare, who have given up and sacrificed. Have you ever served anyone? Who have kept the faith? This promise is for you. You're always with me and everything I have is yours, says our Father. Don't compare your life to others. Don't go weigh out your blessings. Don't put your service on a scale and say, see, Lord, I should get something too. This is carnal thinking. For the Lord says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. See, it's not by our perfect service and sacrifice that we live. At times in our life, the inclinations of the older brother and the Pharisees rise up within us, don't they? We look at our works, we look at our good deeds, our sacrifices, our service, and we want our Father in heaven to be proud of us for those. We want Him to love us for our works. But that's not why He loves us. That's not why He calls us son and daughter. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He first loved us. Our good works, our perfect life, our sacrificial service. Oh, may we not pursue these to gain God's favor. May we not work hard to get God's love. No, this is Pharisaical thinking. No, rather, we do good works. You know why? Because in our humility, we see and we've received the love of God poured out upon us. And our response is to love Him with a life of serving Him. So we don't go and serve God to get His love. You can't do that. For by grace we have been saved through faith, and not, it is not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And so like the other older brother, we have nothing to boast about, do we? As Paul said, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of knowing Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Do you see what he's saying? He had to put away his works and count them as rubbish in order to gain Christ. You can't do both. Oh, may we put all our works aside and know our true identity, who we are in Christ, saved, rescued, called out, set apart, children of the King. May this humble us. May this bring us great rejoicing, grateful hearts, whenever He turns one sinner toward Him. Just as Christ received sinners and ate with them, may we declare that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to You today and we see in the older brother ourselves in many ways. These temptations and sin rise up within us. So we confess to You, Lord, now our selfishness, our focus on the sins of others, our hope and trust in our works to earn Your love. Oh God, save us from these deadly pursuits. Help us not to cling to our good behavior. Help us not to trust in our sacrificial serving. Not to count on our kind deeds to win your love, but help us to know we are your sons and daughters of nothing we've done. Lord, our prayer is that we would know you more, and that the light of your glory and grace would be our focus and would shine so bright that everything else in the world would fade away. We take a moment to individually confess our sins to you.